And we are back for hour number two of the big show today, Thursday, April the 2nd, 2020, 16 minutes past the hour, 17 now, 4-2-2020. Now, a lot of stuff going on here in Ohio, and this hour hopefully will be very informative and helpful to everybody in the listening audience. Now, in the bottom of the hour, I just want to let everybody know that we are going to be joined via telephone by Dr. Chrisanne Gordon, who is a practicing physician in Marysville at this point, who's going to answer a lot of questions in regard to what's going on in hospitals now with the COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic going on. But to kick off the hour, we're joined by somebody who has been so helpful to the listening audience and so helpful to me and helpful to a lot of other people in the community during this pandemic. As we head into what the national government is saying will be a very, very rough patch the next 2 weeks, I think the state is saying that as well. A lot of things are changing. We are in constant flux at this time, and nobody to help us sort this out any better than Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler. Tracy, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Tracy, yesterday we all watch the press conferences that Governor DeWine has every day. Yesterday seemed to have a little different tenor than it had in regard to people meeting, businesses still operating that should not. I believe the Attorney General's office sent word to Hobby Lobby last night across the state that they do need to close. What went on there yesterday, in your opinion?
I think there's a couple of things going on. I think we're getting closer and closer to this surge that we're going to have of patients and sick patients in particular. And we feel like, I think, I'm not trying to put words in the governor's mouth or Dr. Acton's mouth, but I think it gets frustrating that, you know, we see what's coming, and there's a lot of people who still don't and are not following the orders the way that they should be. And so I think, you know, we're seeing them start to, that frustration sort of start to come to the surface. We're getting to this situation where it's, you know, it's very important for everybody to do everything that they can. It has been all along, but we're getting to the point where we're not going to be able to change the course of the outcome of the disease anymore. And so we need everybody to just hunker down and get through this.
Tracy, something yesterday, I don't know if you saw it, here in Marion, I had wondered if people were paying attention to the stay-at-home order, and I think a great many people are, but yesterday was the first of the month. A lot of people get money first of the month, Social Security, disability, so on and so forth. And as I was leaving the radio station yesterday, I saw the cars really backed up at the local bank, and I heard that the grocery stores got busy again yesterday. What do you make of that?
I think what we need to do in that situation is those of us who don't rely on that first of the month check to be able to pay our bills and go to the grocery store, we need to stay away from the banks and the grocery stores during that time so that we're not adding to that mass gathering situation. Some people don't have a choice as to when they're able to get their groceries and things like that, and some of us do. And so I hope people will give them that space to be able to do what they need to do as safe as possible. So I'm just asking everybody to, if you don't have to go to the grocery store at the first of the month, don't go. If you don't have to go to the bank, don't go. And allow those people that have no other choice to do what they need to do as safe as they can.
We keep hearing that the next 2 weeks are going to be really bad. What can we expect at this point?
I think you're just going to continue to see more and more positive cases here in Marion and around Ohio, around the United States. We'll see an increase in our hospitalizations. We'll start to see an increase even more than we already are in deaths. It'll be even that much more important to isolate ourselves so that we don't have to go to the hospital. Even with regard to, it trickles out. You know, if you're playing basketball or messing around, even if it's just by yourself and you don't have anybody around and you fall and break your leg, you do not want to have to go to the hospital right now. So it's just taking care of ourselves in every different way to minimize our interaction with other people and to help those healthcare providers by staying out as much as we can. But I think we're going to just see that everything is going to start to really gear up. All the plans that people have been working on the last month or so are going to start coming to fruition. And so it's going to get scarier, but we will get through it on the other side.
What is the current situation in Marion as of this morning with people diagnosed? And have we ever gotten any kind of essence of how many tests have been done in Marion?
We don't get that information about how many tests are done. We only see the positive cases. So right now we have 10 positive cases in Marion. I expect that number to continue to climb. But we didn't have anything new as of first thing this morning.
And the hospital or the prison right now is under quarantine, is that correct?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Now, what exactly does that mean for people who don't understand?
They are taking a lot of really aggressive steps to isolate people as best they can in their units, in their pods, trying to limit the amount of people that the guards come into contact with. They're doing deep cleaning on a regular basis. They're doing a lot of investigating, a lot of separating of people. It is a prison, and there is no way to get around. They're going to have cases, and there's going to be outbreaks. I mean, whenever you have, that's why we're trying not to have large gatherings, but there's no way around it in a prison situation. And so I feel like, you know, I've been in contact with them pretty much daily. They're doing a great job with a really bad situation. So they are trying to minimize it and contain it as much as they can.
Tracy, I printed this out yesterday from the governor's press conference. I want to read this because this, I think, is going to be possibly the big news of today. And it said, when informed by reporters Wednesday at the COVID 19 press briefing that churches, grocery, and department stores such as Hobby Lobby have continually defied executive orders by other governors and other states to restrict the number of people in mass gatherings, not following social distancing guidelines, or to remain closed altogether, Governor DeWine warned of an executive order to be introduced in Ohio as early as what would be today. He said local law enforcement agencies throughout the state, in conjunction with local health departments, have absolute authority under the orders in place to close those establishments at their discretion. That would be you and local law enforcement here. Mm-hmm. Is there anything in Marion that you feel is still open that should not be?
I have been struggling with that since the first order came out, and I hope that the second order gives some more clarity. Because in the first order, it was, if you feel you're essential, make the case to the health department, and they'll work with you to see if you should stay open. And so we've seen a lot of different counties, you know, saying different things about what should be open or not, depending on, you know, the arguments that are being made by the businesses. And so I'm hoping that, you know, they give it some more consistency today. But I do think we have places in Marion that I don't think should be open, but I don't know their entire story. And so I see, like, for instance, I'm sitting at my house over the weekend and I saw a furniture delivery truck drive by. And so I don't know what was the situation of that, but if a delivery driver is going in somebody's house and delivering furniture, to me that poses a risk. So that's something that I'm interested to see what the governor will say something about, because on the other side of that coin, if they're delivering to essential businesses, computers and things like that, you can see their argument. So I'm going to really be interested to see what they provide for us in terms of just more consistent guidelines.
When it comes to places, because it's been on a lot of people's mind, obviously Hobby Lobby was even mentioned in this order yesterday. There are a lot of stores in Marion and other places as well that probably don't deal so much in groceries as a furniture store would not. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people have questioned factories. A lot, you know, Whirlpool was on the news in Columbus for staying open. Are we getting to a point where those things might have to be looked at?
I think we are getting to that point, and I think those factories are looking at that too. But we're in this weird situation where people who work for essential businesses would like to be shut down. People who work for non-essential businesses would like to be able to be open. So it's this weird kind of nobody's happy with the situation that we're in. Certainly, if people are seeing businesses that are open, please call and let us know, and then we will do an investigation to see whether they should be open or not. We only have a couple of people who are able to work on this, so we can't get to every place immediately. So we need the help of the public to say, hey, did you realize they were open, and I don't think they're essential.
In Marion, what would be the definition, and it may be the definition everywhere in Ohio, what do you consider to be an essential business?
So it's a business that is part of that chain of getting food, healthcare supplies, PPE, things like that, to the public and to healthcare providers. And so there's a lot of stuff that falls in there because it's a very big chain, and they left it pretty wide open in that governor's order. It included most things. So it includes everything from the packaging that food goes into all the way to the actual grocery itself, and that's the same thing for medical supplies and all of that. So they left it very broad. Whirlpool, for example, is an essential service. It says right in the order, household appliances are an essential service. So it's very broad.
Do you have any guess today when the governor speaks to this, which I assume he will, what changes we are going to see in that?
I don't. I'm just like everybody else. I find out at 2 o'clock when the governor speaks. They don't give us any pre-information.
In Marion at this point, do you have any idea what the next 2 weeks as far as numbers will look like? Do you, just a guess, I'm sure it could be way off, but what might it look like with 10 cases right now? We're certainly not Cuyahoga County, but what might it look like here?
I think, you know, we had our first case, I want to say, on March 20th, and we're up to 10 already. And so we are seeing that double or more than double every 6 days, like Dr. Acton said at the very beginning. For Ohio, it was going to be 100,000 cases and then double every 6 days. We're seeing that here in Marion, so I would say in a week from now we'll have at least 20. You know, it's going to keep doubling. So I would say we'll probably have several hundred cases as the peak hits. And then we'll continue to have cases after the peak. It doesn't just peak and then fall off. So we may have several hundred cases, and then that will continue through May into June. And while we might have less cases per day, you know, our total cases are probably going to be, you know, in the thousands, depending on testing. That's a big thing. How many people get tested? Because remember, we only see the positive results. So if testing supplies are not readily available, we will see lower numbers of positives, but we will all assume that people have it because they're symptomatic. So that won't show up in a number on the 2 o'clock call or on the coronavirus website. So there's a lot of factors that go into that, but I don't want people to be surprised, even though it will still be scary, that we will see hundreds of cases here in Marion.
When we talked on Tuesday, I think one of the more definitive parts of the conversation was about the lack of PPE, was about the lack of ventilators, and at this point, it's going to be what it's going to be when this hits its stride. when is that likely to happen? I know this is not an exact science, mm-hmm. but when is that moment going to be where we don't have enough ventilators, that the PPE is not there?
I would say within the next 3 weeks, so maybe 2 weeks from now to 3 weeks from now, is when we're expecting that moment to occur. But it will depend on, that's when we're going to see if all of this stay-at-home orders and things like that worked. We won't know until it happens. And so I would say 2 to 3 weeks we'll see that.
2 to 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And again, just so people remember, what is the best thing to do right now? Of course, stay at home. But if you have to go out, if you have to go to the grocery, if you have to go, mm-hmm. if you want to go pick up some food, whatever you want to do, what's the best way to avoid this? We've heard masks weren't good. Now we hear maybe they are.
Yeah, I'm interested to hear what they say next about masks. Masks protect the other person from you. So if you're wearing a mask and you cough or sneeze into that mask, not so many of your germs come out of the mask. But this is a microscopic droplet. So while the mask will catch the big stuff, the little stuff will still escape through. So it may help if you're not exactly 6 feet from somebody. I'm not sure how that's going to, what they're going to say about that. But I would say for people to just make good decisions. If the grocery store looks busy, come a different time. They do have times when they're not so busy. Make sure you wash your hands after you go. If you decide that you're going to wear gloves or something like that, you have to wash your hands after you take your gloves off because your gloves are dirty. I know I've seen some people wearing gloves. And I also wanted to say the businesses, whether they're essential or not essential, rely on us as consumers to stay open. And so just because a place is open doesn't mean you need to go there. You have to make smart decisions for you and your family. So this is not the time to be doing shopping that's not essential to, preserving life. Groceries are essential. Medical supplies are essential. New jeans are not, so we have to make those decisions. Even if you're outside playing with your kids or playing an outdoor sport, just being around 3 or 4 people, you can all catch the virus, and it may impact one of you way worse than it impacts the other one. So even being outside doesn't provide you any safety from getting COVID.
Mm. Tracy, I can't thank you enough here. The information is ever-changing. I know it's got to be a hugely busy time for you, and I hope you continue to keep coming on when you can and helping us out with what's going to be a very interesting month, I think.
Yes, I think you're right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Tracy.
Bye-bye.
Tracy Kinsler, Marion Public Health Commissioner. There you go. That was a very apt saying. Just because a business is open doesn't mean we have to go there. And outside of food and health supplies, really at this point, why are we going? To get out of the house? I don't know. It's interesting, but that's the way it is at this point. We continue on this morning, and again, we thank Marion Public Health Commissioner Tracy Kinsler for the update here in Marion. And in the midst of this COVID-19 coronavirus pandemic, we are so glad to have people who are out there and practicing and in places that we are not in at this point to help us out. And that person this morning is Dr. Chris Ann Gordon, a practicing physician in Marysville, Ohio, just up the road. So we can't thank her enough for joining us. Dr. Gordon, how are you?
I'm doing very fine, Scott, and thank you so much for your public service. What you've been broadcasting is so informative. I think it's very calming, and I hope to contribute to that today, and I really do appreciate this opportunity.
Well, right back at you, Dr. Gordon. I think this is an interesting time. I want to start with the next 3 weeks. We just talked to the health commissioner. We've heard the president. We've heard the governor that the next 3 weeks are going to be rough. What exactly does that mean?
I think that the next 3 weeks we're going to really need to rely on all Americans to listen to your leaders. We are so blessed here in Ohio, and I'm very lucky because I work with a nonprofit dealing with veterans throughout the country, and I believe that Ohio is the best leadership that I have seen throughout the nation. Listen to what Governor DeWine is saying. Listen to what Dr. Acton is saying. When they are requesting that you stay inside, they are doing that not just for your protection, but for the protection of everyone around you. If I could just bring up a couple points, and I was listening to Tracy and the great information that was just disseminated, but this virus is very tricky because about 20 to 25% of the people who are carrying it have no symptoms. So just because you feel healthy does not mean that you should be out there with anybody, okay? And I think that that's something new for us. You know, it's new in our society, so we're really not familiar with it. The good news on that is that we understand now that about 1 in 4 people who get this, or 1 in 5 people, won't have hardly any symptoms at all, or feel like they've got a cold, or maybe they've got allergies. So that's, you know, good news. However, those people can spread this disease to others who have no ability to fight this particular pathogen. And I think that's what's so important and so clear. And again, not to be an alarmist, but I do believe that knowledge is power. You know, we have areas in the country where this is borne out. There was a funeral in Albany, Georgia. About 200 people attended for a janitor that everybody knew and loved. This was about a week and a half before we got the news about COVID. From that particular person, there were over 200 cases that developed COVID-19 as a result of being like a second or third or fourth, you know, person, somebody who got the disease at that funeral, you know, came in contact with when they didn't know they were infected, okay? And that's why I think it's so important what Dr. Acton and what Governor DeWine did when they told us weeks ago to stay inside, okay? So I think what happened, Scott, and I may be wrong, but I think people took that very seriously, and then as nothing really happened in the state of Ohio, people have gotten lax. You know, you've gotten tired of being at home, you want to go outside, the weather's great, particularly the young people, and I do understand that. I was young once, and I do understand that playing basketball, playing football, like I saw a group this past weekend in my neighborhood, can actually infect an entire community. And I think that is a new concept, and I'm not being, you know, blaming anybody for doing that, but I'm like saying, from anybody who's hearing this now, pass this on to everybody on your internet chain, everybody in your circle. The most important thing that we can do right now is stay out of the way. You know, stay inside, stay out of the way of other people, stay out of the way of our healthcare providers who need you to be healthy, who need you to stay out of the emergency room, you know? I think that that is a very, very important issue, and I hope I was able to express that well.
No, it absolutely was. One of the points of this that it's the panic, and as Tracy just explained, I've never heard anything like that in possibly 3 weeks. We just don't have enough PPE. We just don't have enough ventilators for what we think is going to come. And at this point, it's not going to be there, and we're just going to have to deal with what we have. And decisions are going to have to be made about who's going to go on a ventilator. Is this likely? Is that a realization we're going to be facing in the next 30 days?
You know, I think I will rely on what Dr. Acton tells us in the weeks that come. What I want to say on a positive note is that we are not on the coast. And the people who have really been devastated by all this are, you know, places where people were entering our country, you know, where there's huge populations. On the East Coast, we see what's happening in New York City. On the West Coast, we're seeing what's happening in L.A. and San Francisco and Seattle. So a couple things should make us feel a little bit more settled as long as we follow the rules and regulations of our leaders, okay? And that is that we have had time to prepare. I will tell you that I have ER colleagues. I used to be an ER physician. I'm now in rehab, so I'm not nearly on the front lines like I used to be there, who literally ended up critically ill. Some have perished on the West Coast and the East Coast because we didn't know what the enemy was. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, people came in with colds and flu-like symptoms, and the docs considered that they had immunity, and they didn't. The more you are exposed to this virus, we call it viral load. You know, like if somebody gets a droplet near you, that's one thing, but if somebody would sneeze or cough on you or breathe on you and you get thousands of those droplets, that's more the virus entering your body, and that's what we want to stop. I am very impressed with what our leaders have done, and I've got to say that one of the most important issues happened this weekend when Governor DeWine was able to talk the FDA into allowing Battelle, a great institution within Central Ohio here, who says, hey, we can help with this because we can sterilize 100 or 120,000 of these masks a day. That was huge, you know, and I think anybody in our state right now needs to be watching, you know, the governor's message and needs to pay attention to that. So I feel really a lot better about that. I do think that the smarter that we are, and don't think that you're going to just be inside today. You're going to be inside for a long time, you know, but there's a lot of people out there who don't have any place to safe harbor in. We are very blessed that right now we have decent weather. You can open up a window and ventilate your house. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, we've got to look at the positive side of this. And the positive side is we're in a much better position than our fellow Americans on the coast. And I'm just thinking that with the great healthcare institutions that we have here, you know, Ohio Health was mentioned by Tracy. That is, you know, very, very strong in your area. We have the Ohio State University hospitals. We have the VAs that are now joining in. What I've got to say, Scott, is we have been blessed to have the opportunity to prepare, okay? So I will leave it to the doctors in the ER, the ICU docs, to do what needs to be done. And I think that what we ought to do is to prevent getting ill yourself. That is the most important issue everybody who's in your listening audience and everybody in our state, and if not our nation, needs to know right now.
It's very interesting because even with the numbers growing, and they are in every county and across the state, even with the death toll growing, even with nationally, I believe now the estimate is possibly close to 250,000 people will die from this.
Correct.
Essential, non-essential businesses are still opening, and the governor is not happy about this. We expect to hear something about this today. What do you think is going on there, and do you have, we don't know, but do you have an expectation of what might happen today at 2 o'clock?
I don't have any expectation of that. I will tell you that Dr. Acton and Governor DeWine have brain power and information well beyond my ability. So I really don't have an expectation there. But what I do have an expectation is that the American people are smart. And we need to be smart right now. Okay. We need to take care of ourselves. We need to take care of our family. As Tracy so, you know, very interestingly pointed out, these businesses are only open because people are going there. You know? And I don't think that it's any degree of anybody's, you know, thinking evil things or I want to get ahead now. No, it really isn't. It's just we have never been faced with this situation before. We are faced with it now. So I would really ask all non-essential businesses. And, you know, it's very interesting, Scott, because what we all thought was essential last week is very different than what we think is essential this week. You know, like when Tracy was talking about a pair of jeans, furniture, that is not essential. And again, we have never been faced with that. We are an instant gratification society, more so than any place on the planet right now. And I think it's amazing how quickly we've turned that around. So there are still businesses that are open, but we, the American people, need to be smart enough to say, we're not going to go there, okay? Well, this is not something we absolutely need to get by. And I think that the governor will kind of press on with that as well. You know, the other thing I have to bring up is it is a good idea to take care of yourself right now, to be healthy. Don't eat the junk food. You know, try to eat healthy meals. Try to take this time to lose weight, to begin some exercise, to do some positive things within your own home. I'm really begging everybody that is gathering outside in neighborhoods, in parks. I have to give a shout out to my hometown, Youngstown, which is right now a major epicenter for COVID-19. Mill Creek Park is a gorgeous place. Stay out of it right now. Stay out of it. Stay in your home. Take care of yourself. Call your neighbors. Text your neighbors. Email your neighbors, but don't go visit them. And this is kind of a strange thing that I want to bring up, Scott, but I want people to understand this, because on a walk the other day, I saw a couple of my neighbors, and they were definitely adhering to the 6-foot rule, but their dogs were playing, you know, on their leashes. And I said, you understand that if one of your households has this, you know, kind of subclinical or case of COVID-19 that we don't know about, your dogs are just sharing it right now on their fur.
Mm.
So I think we need to be, like I said, we need to be smarter than we've been, because we've been very well protected before. But now it's time for us to, you know, call on that American ingenuity and say, okay, we're not going to let this get to us. We're going to listen to our leaders. We're going to stay home. We're going to make this very small sacrifice of taking care of ourselves, which we should have been doing all along anyhow, and see where that gets us. And I think Ohio is going to be a state where, you know, that degree of intelligence and that degree of everybody sticking together is going to make a big difference.
You know, Dr. Gordon, since the beginning of this, I have had a question in the back of my mind. Is the pandemic going to be worse than the panic that goes along with this? And now that we all are social distancing, that we do have a stay-at-home order, I'm looking at Facebook, I'm looking at social media sites, and something that struck me yesterday was, in this regard, that when the governor spoke yesterday, there was some talk that this could go into the summer. It could go into July or August that we have to stay this way. And the talk on social media was not so much about the illness or the social distancing or anything like that. It was there goes summer, canceling summer. Is a lot of this because people just don't know how long they're going to have to stay in? It's a confusing thing.
You know, it is very confusing. And I, again, have to you know, speak to our leaders, who I think have been wonderful, because they didn't start out by saying, everybody lock down, you're going to be there for 6 months. You know what I mean? That would have caused panic, I think. I think that the way that they are looking at it on a week-to-week basis is very important. But, you know, again, being smart, and I'm asking the adolescents and the young adults who are so savvy on the internet to, you know, if you look up some of this information, you'll see that, you know, we have that typical bell-shaped curve, you know, a few cases, then we talk about the spike, and then it trails off. It doesn't just drop off, you know. It's not like, you know, today we have 1,000 cases, and next week we've got zero, you know. We've got to remember that there's going to be a tapering off period. So I really am a person who believes not only in staying in the moment, okay, here's where we are, here's what we need to do today. Today, I need to get on a routine, I need to get up at a certain hour, I need to go to bed at a certain hour, I need to eat at a certain hour, I need to have breaks to wash my hands thoroughly. Hot water, lots of soap, get those things multiple times a day, and all of that needs to be scheduled for today, okay? And then stay in the mind of what today is, listen to the governor too, and take it from there. But I also like having a long-term goal, you know, something that we can reach for. We are, in our nation, a very goal-oriented group. My goal is to, by the end of this, to lose 8 pounds. My goal is to get my blood pressure down. My goal is to not drink alcohol, not smoke a lot of marijuana, not be out of the moment, but to be in the moment, and to do that for the rest of my life. I'm telling several of my patients, you know, I deal with veterans. I deal with our young veterans with traumatic brain injury from Iraq and Afghanistan, and they have just, like, kind of lit up our emails and lit up our websites with questions. They're isolated to begin with. They're more isolated now. I say, okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of 10 of your brothers and sisters that you serve with and contact them over the next 2 weeks. Find them. Contact them. Talk to them. Now, they're coming back with some ideas for me that I think are really good to keep you inside and happier longer being there. And that's something that I didn't know about. I don't play video games. Scott, maybe you do. Maybe members of your family do. But, you know, they've got, for instance, there are some multiplayer games some of them that deal with, you know, reprogramming your brain, remembering trivia, learning things like that. Learn a language, you know, pick a language, do it as a family. There are multiple positive things that you can do inside, you know. We live in a world where we have lots of TV and movies and sci-fi and all of the above. So what I told my nieces were big Game of Thrones, you know, people, and they are living in Texas right now. So well, what can we do? I go, pretend that winter's coming. Prepare as though winter's coming. Decide that you're going to stay inside for a while, but do something positive while you're there. If we keep our mind occupied with these kinds of activities, Scott, we'll actually do a whole lot better in the long run. Less panic, less stress. We don't want to be stressed. Stress invites bugs into our body. Do you know what I mean? We want to be calm. We want to go online and try some meditation classes, you know. There's just a whole lot of things that we can do less.
And I think in that vein, this is happening with a lot of people at this point. We're so early in this, just 3 weeks into this, that anxiety is out there and stress is out there. And, you know, people who were diagnosed before, this really, I would imagine, it has exacerbated that problem.
Yeah, I really do think that's true. And again, it is such an unknown. You know, we didn't even really see this coming until December was like the first case, and how quickly it spread. And I think that's something that's very hard for us to imagine happened in the 21st century, you know, but it did. And we have been able, like I said, particularly here in the Heartland, to, you know, get information out there, to get some defense out there. And I think that we should feel good with that. And I think that we should just kind of stay in. Again, if you stay in, take care of yourself. Take care of your family. You're not being selfish. Right now, taking care of yourself is the most important thing that you can do so that we don't, you know, kind of overwhelm our healthcare system. And again, we are very blessed in Ohio. We have more medical schools in the state of Ohio than they do in any other state in the union, with the exception of California. And they're good. And here's the other thing, Scott, that I think, you know, time is our friend. The longer that we can stay this off, the longer that we can keep healthy, the longer that we can keep sharing medical information among the communities, the smarter we're going to be. So I don't want people to panic. I think there's a difference between being alarmed and being panicked. You know, a panic response, usually 80% of the people who panic just kind of freeze. If you freeze at home, okay, great. But if you, you know, freeze when you're out at the furniture store or at Hobby Lobby, you're going to be in trouble. So pay attention to what's going on. And get, if you are an older person, for instance, you know, hopefully you have grandchildren or somebody else's grandchildren who can call you once a day, keep you informed on what's going on. You know, hopefully there are ways to stay in touch that we couldn't have. Had this happened back when I was growing up, we didn't have the internet. You know, we would have been locked in my little home in Youngstown, Ohio, with no idea what was happening. So people like you are so important at keeping communities connected, keeping communities centered. And I think if we are as smart as we can be about this, we will get through this as best as possible. And I do believe that we're going to emerge stronger as a society and definitely smarter as a medical community. You know, I hope that I'm not just rambling here, but there's so much information I want to share with your audience. You know, I lived through the AIDS epidemic. I was actually in training at that time. And if you were somebody in training at that time, you understand that France had their own studies and they were in competition with the United States, who had their own studies, and they were in competition with nobody shared information. I have never in my life noted a global medical community like I'm able to witness right now, sharing information, helping each other out, trying to say, here's what we knew, here's what worked, you try this. I find that to be a change that will happen forever. You know, I really do believe that it's making the global medical community much more cooperative, much smarter, and that, on the end of this, will make us a lot stronger. So, you know, if you look in terms of, I don't care if you're talking about July, you're talking about a couple months, you know?
Yeah, it's not forever. Hindsight's 2020 on a lot of this, but a lot of people are asking this. We're a why country, I believe. I'm a why person. How, when we take the politics, when we take everything out of it, but just what we know, what happened? How did this happen? Would there have been any way to prevent it?
You know, that's a really good question. I think that there could have been ways that would have been wiser in hindsight, but I would not be critical about that because no one in our existence had ever seen anything quite like this. I mean, I don't know of another virus that cloaks itself so well, you know, that one out of four, one out of five people infected have very few symptoms. You know what I mean? Like, that's not something that we're used to in the medical community. We're also not used to one person who's asymptomatic being able to spread that particular illness to tens of thousands of people within several weeks' time. So there were so many things about this particular pathogen, this particular virus, that didn't fit anybody's mold, that I think that's what caught folks off guard. However, if you think about the fact that the first case that we really were talking about was back in December, you know, we're not that far into it before we actually had an opportunity to react. We are going to have to be smarter in the future about, you know, free travel, you know, about people moving everywhere, you know, about people who are infected or come from infected areas moving everywhere. You know, I myself, I travel a lot for our veterans, you know, across the country, you know, outside the country. So I think it's going to make us take a look at all of that. So I'm not going to be highly critical of anybody because it was kind of, I look at this as kind of a stealth, subversive virus that didn't show its true colors for the first 3 months.
And it has come about so quick. The first case was in December. We know that now. But the week that this all came about, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, front page of newspapers, radio broadcast, television broadcast, internet, nobody was really talking about this. And by Friday, things were closed. I've never seen something come on that quickly.
Right. Nor had anybody in any medical community. You know, I only know two generations, you know. My father was a doctor. My grandfather had gone to medical school. I mean, I will tell you, from the 1900s, we did not. Now, the closest thing that they're comparing it to is the 1918 influenza epidemic, which also came on just about this quickly. It was right at the post-war period, after World War I. It did catch people off guard, and it did have a massive swath of destruction. Again, much more so in high-dense communities, you know, New York City, once again, Philadelphia, you know, those kinds of places. So to think that we've gone from 1919 to 2020, we went over 100 years. Let's not do this again. Let's just not do this again. But I do think that the world leaders jumped on this quickly. Maybe not quickly enough, but in retrospect, you could say that about a lot of things. I just am very, very thankful that we have our leaders here in Ohio, Governor DeWine and Dr. Acton, who are being very proactive. And we need to be proactive as well. As much as anybody may not want to do it, it is what's going to save us all, you know, come July. You know?
And I know these things have changed. Is that the best guess, that this, the life that we are living now with restaurants not being open, not being able to get together with big groups of people, being on a stay-at-home order, is that expected at this point to go through July? Does that seem more likely than not?
You know, I think that it's definitely through the end of May, and I like to extrapolate one more month, so through the end of June. So, you know, what I'm hoping is maybe in July we can start opening some things up, and it may happen quicker than that. You know, I'm not the person who has, you know, the map of where all this is going, but I like to err on the side of caution. So I'm looking at, you know, I hope to start making plans again in August, and if I have to put them off, that's fine. But if I get to move them up to June, then I'm happy. You know, I think it's better to project longer and then be happy when it's moved up, you know, than to project next week and be disappointed. I am a person who really believes, you know, the more positive you are in any situation, the better off you're going to be, period. Okay. So I would not sit there worrying about whether we're going to open up yet in June or July or that. I would just say, you know, we're in this for the long haul. Let's see what happens after the surge. I know that we're locked down till the end of May. Let's see what happens after that. Again, I'm not the person with the crystal ball, but I have no problems myself thinking farther ahead than that. Mm.
Dr. Chris Ann Gordon, thank you so much. It was such a help for you to come on this morning, and maybe we will talk very soon again. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Scott. Take care. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Dr. Chris Ann Gordon and Tracy Kinsler, very interesting morning. We're going to take a break for about 10, 15 minutes here. Listen to the news, the mayor and Tracy on the news talking about what's coming, what you should do, and we'll be back in about 15 minutes filling in for Charlie Evers, Glenn Coble, and I, and we're going to have some fun after all this information, so stay tuned.
Replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going, and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Hester at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect.